I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me. This is episode 2 of our position group preview series, a series that a lot of our listeners really, really like. It's slightly shorter episodes, very focused on the personnel, the stats, the outlook at each position group heading into the 2023 season. We also have written previews as well as fall camp updates over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. Lots of intel, both VIP stories. We got free stories from the press conferences, some of my analytical thoughts. If you're getting excited for Michigan football season, we probably have a few stories for you to read over at the MichiganInsider.com. This episode, we just did the quarterback episode. This episode looks at the running back room, a room that Steve and I both believe is the number one running back room in the country. We aren't alone in that thought, by the way. Pretty much every national publication I have seen agrees. So let's start there. The strength of this room, and Steve, you know me, you read my stories. You know I'm not a hype person for Michigan. That's not really how I approach the job. But when I was sitting down and thinking about the strength of this running back room, all I could think of was everything. This is a running back room that can do everything you want from a college running back room. Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, they were the best running back tandem in the country last season, and they are both back and healthier right now. I mean, Donovan Edwards played through injuries last season. Blake Corum was banged up, but then obviously the more serious injury happened, and so that's part of why he's back. But this is a running back room that has two backs that I think if they were the only one in the room, we would be projecting them to be first-team All-Americans. Blake Corum was a first-team All-American last season. Donovan Edwards played like one once he became the starter when Corum went down with injury. He was the number one running back in the Power 5 football in yards per carry. And he also had 991 yards, which was the most by a backup running back in the country. If you go look at NFL draft previews, 2024 NFL draft previews, I can think of four publications off the top of my head where Edwards and Corum are both top three running back prospects heading into this season for the 2024 draft. Last time that happened was 2016 Alabama, when it was Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake. That team won a national title, in large part due to its run game. So, I mean, this is a room. I look at both players. If you combine what they can do, this is a group that can run in between the tackles, that has the speed and quickness to make plays outside the tackles and in the open field. They both are big play home run threats. I think Corum showed his ability to kind of play through contact, and Donovan Edwards started to as well, even with a broken hand. And so they can catch passes. They can break tackles. They can be shifty. It's just good luck to opposing defenses in terms of trying to stop both of these running backs on a regular basis, because they both have been extremely productive against top 10, top 5 defenses. And if they had been healthy in the Fiesta Bowl last season, Michigan's probably playing in the national championship game, right? How many of those carries that didn't end up being touchdowns or first downs in that Fiesta Bowl do we feel like Blake Corum could have gotten? So this is an elite running back room. It's as good as it gets in college football. And I would put it on par with the excellent running back tandems or duos that Alabama and Georgia have had in the past decade or so, where they have both players drafted. I expect both these players to be drafted. And it sounds like both could be drafted high, like top 50 high. So this is a great room that can do it all. I don't see a weakness between these two. I think both players have certain parts of their game that they want to improve, of course, because they're players with very high expectations for themselves that want to be among the best running backs in the world in the next couple of years. But at the same time, combined, I don't know how you game plan for these two because you know, they're very complementary. I think some of the things Donovan Edwards does well, Blake might struggle in, but at the same time, the things Donovan struggles with, Blake excels in. So it's a very tough room to game plan for. Maybe it's the easy answer, but when I thought of biggest strength of this room, I the only thing I could come up with was everything. Steve, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to narrow it down to one particular strength, I guess, right? Because it is the best running back, the best duo for sure at the top in the country. I feel like I read a couple publications that had Penn State's 1-2 ahead of Michigan, and I'm like, did they watch the game that the two teams
right
like played against each other? And again, don't get me wrong, yeah. I'd say Penn State's probably got the second best tandem in the
Ohio
country.
State might be third.
Yeah, right. Nick Singleton is different. I mean, he's got some Saquon Barkley to his game. Mm-hmm. So that's not even necessarily a slight at Penn State. I just think what Michigan brings. I've been on this train now for a while. I think even going back to when we previewed the Ohio State game in 2021, where I said I thought Michigan would utilize Donovan Edwards in the passing game in a way that would create opportunities for Michigan. I mean, that's literally how they scored their first touchdown, a fake pass into the flat, reverse to AJ Henning for a touchdown after his huge game that he had against Maryland in the receiving game. I'm just so enamored with his all-around ability at the position. I just think it does. Blake Corum might be Michigan's best player, but I think just I may make the argument that Donovan Edwards is at his peak is more valuable to Michigan's offense because Michigan has an elite offensive line. But you're talking about somebody you could literally split out all the way. You can put him in the slot. You can run him off tackle. I mean, there's so many different ways. And so he's a guy that you as a defense have to account for no matter where he is on the field. And, you know, regardless of where Michigan uses him, particularly though in the passing game, you're putting the defense at some kind of disadvantage. You're either putting a defensive back on him who is now either not on a receiver or is probably physically overmatched, or you're putting a linebacker on him in space where he's going to win that matchup probably 9 times out of 10, as long as the quarterback has time to throw him the ball. So I just, the value he provides for the offense as a whole, whether it be as the primary threat to get the ball or as like a decoy, there just aren't many players like him in college football. And I think that's probably why, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do feel like most draft projections have him going higher than Blake Corum, correct? I mean, isn't he kind of the...
It seems 50-50. I think the quick version, I think Corum has proven himself as a every down runner a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, you know, Donovan, obviously his big play capability is very proven. I think this year will be big for him in terms of just showing that he can turn a like 0 yard. If it's blocked for 0 yards, the play, he can get 3 out of it. Sure, I think that's something that's, I say the next step as if he didn't already run all over Ohio State, but I think that is kind of the next step, is showing the every down consistency, not just the, like, think about like a hitter in baseball.
Do we feel like, do backs have to be every down guys in the NFL anymore though, necessarily? Right. I mean, there are those handful. You did mention Derrick Henry earlier. I mean, he's kind of the last, not the last of a dying breed, but like part of them. Look at the Lions drafting Jahmyr Gibbs with the 12th pick of the draft next year. He's not going to be getting 30 carries a game for them. So, I agree though, as far as like, you know, Corum may be more of a feature back. Although I still always lean on Alan True's comparison to Alvin Kamara for Donovan Edwards.
Edwards.
Yeah, it's just such a good comparison, man. I mean, just that was so good at the time. And now it's, and it's played out perfectly. I always give Allen a ton of credit for that one, but yeah, I guess I'd say to me, if, you know, again, there, you could pick a five or six different strengths, right? But I just think the overall value that Edwards adds to the offense from it, from just the, he can be used in 20 different ways if they want to, just can create so many matchup nightmares for defenses. And again, yeah, like you said, he's 100% now. Like, has either guy ever been 100% versus Ohio State yet? And they've won both games while running the ball successfully. And
right.
I mean, granted, Hassan Haskins in 21, but like between those two guys, you know, Corum was not 100% in 2021. He didn't even play in last year's game. And Edwards was not 100% in last year's game either. So, you know, kind of almost excited to see what these guys do when they're both at full capability, you know, because we maybe, with Edwards being banged up most of the year last year, we maybe have not even really seen it yet. So, you know, so that'll be interesting, but I'm going with Donovan. I just very enamored with his abilities.
Yeah. I think if you want an example against a top 10 opponent of what these two look like together, I would go rewatch that Michigan Penn State game. I think that was a clinic. I think they both ran, I mean, they both were over 100 yards. I think they might've been both over 150 and just changed the game, really. You know, kind of a close game. Penn State's had a good season last year, great season, and really strong defense. And they just could not consistently contain Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum. So biggest question mark for me is actually has nothing to do with either of them, although it does have to do with your point about how healthy will they be later on in the season. I do think there's room for carries at the number three running back spot. And to me, that's the biggest question is do any of the candidates at that spot emerge? And what's funny to me is how different I've identified four candidates. Steve, if you have another one to throw in there, feel free. But I see Kalel Mullings, converted linebacker, big dude, 6'2", 237. Not as much experience lately running the ball, but was a pretty good ball carrier out of high school. I think he was recruited, I think Notre Dame and Wisconsin were at least taking a look at him as a running back recruit. And then you have CJ Stokes. I think size frame-wise is a little bit more of a Caron Higdon type runner. So maybe not the bruiser that Mullings or Benjamin Hall, the true freshman, are. But at the same time, you know, he's got good vision. I feel like he's got pretty good balance. Missed some time last year due to fumbles. I think Mike Hart has the old Fred Jackson rule where if you fumble the ball, you're out for a certain amount of time or whatever. And then the other true freshman addition to Hall, who showed out the spring game, is Cole Cabana, who's very fast. He might be the fastest running back on the team, might be in contention as one of the team's fastest players out of Dexter High. And similar to Edwards, I think he has some pass catching ability. You can line him up in a few different spots and defenses have to account for him. So to me, I see four candidates. I don't know if Michigan 100% agrees with that situation, but I think it's a pretty open battle for that number three spot. And I'm very fascinated to see if any of them emerge. All four are going to get carries in games, right? It's not one of those positions where they can't rotate deep. But at the same time, you know, in those two or three carries that they get against East Carolina, or in those four or five carries they get against UNLV or Bowling Green, you know, can any of them really showcase a next level that allows them, when Big Ten play happens, to be a genuine supplemental piece to what Corum and Edwards bring? Because Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, even they would tell you they don't want to carry the ball 30 times a game right now. I don't think they would tell you it in those exact terms, but there is some value just in how physical the running back position is. You know, I think both of them would love 15, 20 carries a game with, you know, fresh legs. And then there's a third back who can come in and kind of help keep them fresh. So yeah, that's the biggest question mark. We're kind of combining it with our position battle discussion. But Steve, what's the biggest question mark for you? And what are your thoughts on that number three running back position battle?
Yeah, I mean, that has to be the biggest question mark, right? Who emerges as three and maybe even four, I guess. Do you think maybe they're hoping that Mullings, as a vet and a bigger body, you know, might be that guy so that they can maybe they're hoping to redshirt, because they're going to lose both Edwards and Corum at the end of the season.
Yeah. And 2024 has to be on their mind when they're thinking about
it. It has to be, right? So do you, and we've talked a lot about Benjamin Hall being a guy that could, because just based on his spring game performance, and I just feel like Michigan already believes that they got a guy who's way better than what his recruiting profile and ranking suggests. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, you have to look to the future to some extent here, right? So I almost kind of wonder if they're hoping a Mullings or maybe even like a Tavier Dunlap can emerge as that third guy. Like, I don't know if they want a redshirt. You know, CJ Stokes got a lot of legit carries last year. I don't know if they're in a position to redshirt a guy who's already seen the field that much, but it's an enticing, if they did go that route and you're the player, position where if you wait it out a little bit, it might pay bigger dividends for you to, you know, sort of wait your turn a little bit. So, you know, my gut tells me that they'd almost hope, yeah, because of Mullings being a vet and just because he does, he just provides a little bit of a different style for Michigan. We talk about short yardage situations. And there's another thing to think about. That's one area where the last two seasons, Michigan has been hugely successful in converting short yardage plays in the running game, right? And it's mostly been predicated on a bigger body at the position. Now, of course, Donovan Edwards did a great job with it late last season, particularly against Ohio State. They converted a few, but even Mullings, again, was sort of that guy last year coming down the stretch as well. So we'll see, but we'll also see if Michigan just sticks to the meritocracy type deal and just plays the guy that they think is the best. So, you know, which in that case would really open the door for the two young guys, because you could argue that both of those guys have some different things about them that maybe some of the second and third year guys don't. So, yeah, fascinating question. Just because Michigan has wanted, they've loved using three backs. It's not as if, you know, yeah, they have the best 1-2 punch in the country, but they've always liked using more than two backs under Jim Harbaugh, and you don't want to be, particularly we talk about Edwards in the passing game, like you said, don't want these guys running them into the ground by the time November rolls around, right? So you kind of want somebody else you can rely on to get you some yardage and to make some plays and relieve these two guys when it's needed.
Yes, and don't forget, Michigan wants to play 15 games this season, so that adds to the importance of having some depth at a position that is just very physically, even if you're not injured, every running back, current, former running back I've ever talked to says pretty much the first day you have pads on is the last day that you're 100% healthy, right? And so it's part of the grind. I think Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards understand and appreciate and thrive with that grind, but at the same time, you do want some depth. We're going to hit a quick break on the other side. We'll each look at a stat or player to watch, particularly in the first month of the season, and we'll make our bold predictions for this position group in the 2023 season. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, and we're back. Thanks for waiting. So, Steve, just because you were talking about some of that success rate, especially short yardage, goal line, I don't have a like batting average percent for their you know, third and short or whatever. I agree with you, though. Eye test, they have been money in short yardage carries and goal line carries over the past few seasons. But one stat that I'm going to be looking at this season is the success rate. Obviously, the run game will be measured by yardage and carries and touchdowns and yards after contact and all that. But I think the success rate has been the biggest difference for Michigan in the last 2 years versus years prior. Because, and success rate, I'm measuring it this way. I don't know if there's a different technical formula, but I do first downs plus touchdowns divided by total carries. And over the last, in 2021, their success rate was 35.3%. That means 35.3% of their carries were for either first downs or touchdowns. And then last fall, and by the way, Hassan Haskins' own rate was 45.5% that season. Last fall, it was 36.3%, which is even better. For context, 36.3, Minnesota was second in the Big Ten at 33.6. Ohio State was 30.7%. No one else in the Big Ten was above 27.5%. Michigan was at 36.3%. Michigan's defense held opponents to a 20.9% success rate last season. So that tells you the difference, right? 16% difference in success rate. And Blake Corum's success rate was 46%. So to me, all those numbers, the general point is if Michigan continues to be that successful at getting first downs, getting touchdowns, then I think you can expect Michigan to enter the last week of November with everything on the table. And you can honestly maybe pencil them in to enter January with everything still on the table. I think, you know, this Michigan team, there's a lot that it does well, the defense, the offensive line. You know, we just talked about the quarterbacks the last episode. But at the end of the day, this Michigan offense, and really any offense Jim Harbaugh has ever had, shines when they can get first downs and touchdowns at a high percentage in the run game. I think moving chains and scoring points, you know, that's why Michigan is so excited about the season, because they have two running backs who are great at it. We talked about some of the potential backups who could play a role. So to me, the thing I'll be watching, maybe not so much, and I would expect them to be successful at this in non-conference play, but something I'll be watching in the first couple months of the season is, you know, is that success rate still there? Are these two running backs who are still thriving on a third and two? Or, you know, a second and goal from the 4 yard line? I mean, is this a group that can move the chains and score points? That's a stat I'm watching. Steve, is there a stat or X factor player you're keeping an eye on in the next month and change from this running back room?
So, I guess because you can still, is it still four games for redshirt?
Yes. Yep.
Right. I am interested to see if they do throw Cole Cabana out there, though, knowing that he's healthy, just because, again, I think you talk another guy that can just add maybe even a different dynamic than Donovan Edwards, because he is, I think, faster from a straight line.
10.55 second 100 meter dash.
Right. Kind of the type of guy. And I know the Dexter had a historic year last year for their high school football program, but kind of the type of kid that you almost wonder if like his skill set translates better to the college game than the high school game in a way, as far as like especially because he does have the ability to catch the football. You know, it's like at the college level, he'll have a quarterback that can maybe throw it down the field on a perfect wheel route type candidate or something, you know, or again, maybe another guy that you can split out. So again, very well might not be a guy that makes much of an impact, just because we did talk about Michigan maybe trying to salvage as much youth as they can for next season. But another kid with a really tantalizing skill set who I think would, I don't know, the type of guy that maybe they'd throw out there to sort of electrify the crowd a little bit and get the crowd going, you know, because I think he does give them yet another dimension that they and that a lot of other schools in the around the country don't really have. So interested to maybe ask and hear more about him during fall camp, but then also, you know, again, soft early schedule, maybe the kind of guy they give some run just to sort of see what they have with him.
Yeah, I think the biggest knock on his recruiting profile was that he was 180 pounds and looks very skinny. It just eye test. And I think people wondered, you know, what if he was ready to contribute year one just for that reason. But then, and Steve, I think you and I have already talked about it on a different episode. He weighed in fall camp, 198 pounds. We'll see in games. But I think to me that rang some bells in my head where I'm like, hey, this is an X factor player. This is someone who doesn't have any expectations set for him preseason, but could make a big difference, make some key plays for the Wolverines this fall. And that might also be true on special teams, right? With AJ Henning gone, with some position battles open in the return game, I think he's definitely a player to watch there. All right, finally, we'll close with our bold predictions. Mine is a number-based one. I am predicting Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards combine for 30 total touchdowns and 3,000 total yards. That includes receiving yards. 30 touchdowns, 3,000 total yards. When I wrote it down at first, I thought that was crazy. Last year, they were at 2,734 yards and 28 touchdowns. So they need to be a little bit better, but I think Edwards is going to be able to contribute more, both as a scorer and as a pass catcher this season. And Steve, I imagine you'll talk a little bit about them both playing on the field at the same time in your prediction, but I think he'll be a little bit more prolific. And I think Corum, I know he's coming off the injury, but I think he's someone that is going to benefit from maybe not having as many 25 to 30 carry games. And he can play a little fresher, because I think a lot of people, I don't know why they think this, but you know, he ran a 4.44 laser timed 40 out of high school. And I know he's put on some muscle since then, so he's carrying a little bit more weight, but this is a player who's still extremely quick in tight spaces, but also does have long speed, can make those big plays. So yeah, I was just trying to think like what I could say that wasn't like they both are Heisman. You know, what was actually like realistic? Because I don't think they'll both be Heisman Trophy finalists. I don't think All American voters are going to say both of them are first team All Americans. But I think 30 touchdowns, 3,000 scrimmage yards combined between the two of them, I think that's a very high threshold that would put them among the best running back duos in the history of college football. But I think it's also not totally unrealistic. And if they played one more game last season, I think it's possible they do it last year. So consider me sold on this group, on that duo. I think 30 touchdowns, 3,000 scrimmage yards. Steve, what's your bold prediction for the running back room this fall?
I mean, I can't really. You kind of took like it have to be something like another. It'd be a number
31 and for the guy 3,100,
yeah, right? You know, like just it have to be something like pretty much like what you said, because the expectations are super high. They will, yeah. There's definitely will be a yin and yang type deal to it. It's really just
so
a
I know you were. You yeah. were talking a lot about early in the episode about Donovan Edwards' pass catching ability. So do you think Michigan leans into that harder this year?
I mean, I don't see how you don't. It's just because he's that like, was he? What did he have? Like 11 catches for 180 yards or something against Maryland in 21. His big breakout game. Like
right.
He's the interesting case of a running back whose breakout game was not running the football. It was catching the football. could, I mean, would, I guess a bold prediction would be, do you think he could compete for like leading receiver on the team? I mean, if they utilize him enough in that spot, I mean, I'm just curious.
Multiple coaches and a couple players have said that if he played wide receiver, he would be, even last season, that he would be the team's best wide receiver.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see why not.
Right. I mean, I just, if there's no reason not to have him on the field at the same time for a decent amount. Again, like, you don't want to overdo it, but you also don't want to underutilize it. You know, you got to find a little bit of a balance there. But like I said, I curious what defenses will do. Do they have to designate another corner to him? But even then, again, you're talking about a guy who plays running back. He's physical. I mean, he might, you know, there's plays that they can design to put him in an advantage in a one-on-one situation against a cornerback. So, like I said, can't say enough about him. I think if he was like the number one guy, say like he was just the guy, say Blake Corum had moved on to the draft, he was the guy, say Michigan had a solid, steady number two behind him, I mean, we'd be talking about him as a no-brainer Heisman candidate, in my opinion. So if it's bold prediction, I'll say he at least contends as far as being Michigan's leading receiver from a reception standpoint, for sure.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, I think that's a good sweet spot, because I think it's plausible. I think it's realistic from a skill set standpoint. I was surprised Michigan didn't throw to him more last season. I think there's opportunities. I know Scott Bell, friend of the podcast, you brought up an interesting stat in some of his work that he only played 33 snaps, Donovan Edwards, at not running back. So they didn't put him out wide that often, actually, or in the slot even. Gotta think, you know, with both of them healthy, I gotta think that's something that they increase this season, because again, he has the skills to make plays anywhere on the field, as you pointed out. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Be sure to check out the quarterback episode if you missed it. We also have the wide receiver episode coming up, as well as tight end, offensive line, you know, all the position groups. If you want to read more on the running backs or any other position group, be sure to check it all out at the michiganinsider.com, michigan.247sports.com. We are all in right now on the fall camp stories. So if you are interested in reading more about Michigan football, we probably have something that you'll be interested in. Be sure to check it out at the michiganinsider.com. For Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. We'll see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.